Hello, friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is Wednesday, the 8th day of February 2023. You're listening to Financial Survival. As usual, I'm starting the program today. Melody will be joining us here about after the first break. After I announce the medals in the markets, we're going to have Wendy Wilson join us again, a lady that's just a barrel of fun to listen to and a walking encyclopedia of health knowledge, and that's just a fact. So we're going to go to her in a minute. Before we do that, though, let's get to the medals in the markets and see what's happening. The medals had a kind of a mixed bag today, nothing great either way. Gold was up $1.51 to $18.74.55. Silver is up about 6 cents, $22.28. Platinum was down $3.48 to $9.74.72. Palladium was up $4.26 to $16.50.80. So, yeah, nothing really changed there a whole lot. The Dow today was down $2.26 to $33,903. S&P was down 47 to $41.16. NASDAQ was down $2.02 to $11,911. FTSE was up a little bit, 0.26% at 78.85. The DAX was up 0.6% at 15,412. Hang Seng was down 0.07 to 21,283. Nikkei was down 0.29 to 27,606. USDX was up a little bit, 0.07 to 103.49. Oil was up a little bit, 134 to 78.48. And the 10-year yield was down a little bit, 0.042 to 3.63%. So there you go, folks. Not a lot of excitement anywhere on the markets or metals, kind of holding steady. Now we're going to go to our guest like we always do. I guess we have every Wednesday afternoon when she's able to be here, and she's always bringing forth information. Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs, folks, the lady that you need to listen to. Write down her phone number, get her at catalog, go to her website. She'll be able to help you with some of your health issues. I know she will. Wendy, are you there? Do I hear Wendy?
I'm here, Pastor Butch. How are you?
I'm fine. I thought maybe they walked out on me or something.
I think I had my button pushed in by mistake.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what you want. Go ahead.
It's a bad habit of mine. It really is.
I understand that. I do. I can't find Marcia's button to silence her anytime.
You can't?
I shouldn't have said that. I'm in trouble.
I don't think I can help you with that one.
Well, you go ahead. I know you got an interesting topic you want to talk about. You go right ahead.
Well, I thought we'd talk about the ghostwriters, because it's really not a secret, Pastor Butch. Your drug companies hire ghostwriters in order to publish drug or medical device studies in journal articles. So why are they using ghostwriters? Well, it is very convenient for the drug companies to use someone else to author the research, but the drug company takes the credit for the work, and it has become a common practice, and most of the journal articles are written this way. Here is a 2008 article that appeared in the New York Times on this. They said, medical ghostwriters are employed by pharmaceutical companies and medical device manufacturers to produce apparently independent manuscripts for peer-reviewed journals, conference presentations, and other communications. Ghostwriters make more than a freelance writer. A good ghostwriter costs between $40,000 and $70,000 per project and depends on the ghostwriter's experience, end of quote. I had no idea they made that much money writing a journal article. That's you know, I don't know, I may have to look into that as an occupation. that's pretty good money, Pastor Butch, don't you think? I think so. Here's a study. There's a study done in the medical ghostwriting published in the September 2008 Journal of the American Medical Association. And this article was not written by ghostwriters, but it was by the editors of the medical journal. So an interesting notion is the article was nearly 8% of the journal authors who qualified for acknowledgement on the review, not a ghostwriter, but they weren't given the credit. And what happens in the journal articles written by your ghostwriters is the author credit is usually given to an academic scientist who supported the research. So you often see lead scientists in their field be listed as a sponsor of the work, but they did not participate in the research or the actual writing of the article. Their credentials are just there to give the research the impression of scientific authenticity or credibility. Here's a quote from that.
Well, wouldn't that be called... I don't know, some kind of false.
About,
there's something wrong there. I mean, that shouldn't be allowed. Yeah, really.
I know. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's a quote from the article. It says, our concern with industry-sponsored writers, it has the potential to introduce bias affecting treatment decisions by doctors and overall patient care. Well, they were spot on there. Now, the New England Journal of Medicine only admitted to publishing 11% of its articles by ghostwriters to the study editors. The editors of these journals often have voiced a deep concern about the scientific research in most of these articles. They said, we are puzzled and skeptical of the findings in your journal articles, especially written by the ghostwriters, end of quote. Mm-hmm. Now, your Journal of the American Medical Association, your JAMA journal, said that the frequency of ghostwriter articles in their publication has gone up 8%. Lancet reported a similar finding, and the Public Library of Science Journal said 5% increase. The Annals for the Internal Medicine Journal revealed 2% increase. But you want to keep in mind, these are numbers from 2008, and scientists now are saying nearly 50% or more of your journal articles are now ghost written.
Wow.
So they're taking issue with this. Apparently, journal editors have taken some heat from subscribers to their publication with regards to vetting the authors of the articles. Now, could it be that doctors are skeptical also of the reports they're reading? Are they essentially reading a well-crafted advertisement instead of a pure scientific research report? Here's John Whistler. He's survey research specialist. He said, we recommend that the journal editors take additional action in requiring that all contributors be listed if they are not named as an author. So if that happens, Pastor Butch, if that requirement is for a publication of a journal, medical journal article, peer review or not, this could make the ghostwriters liable for what they write. If ghostwriters are writing articles that make the end result better than the actual test results showed, then I would think they wouldn't want their name to appear on the article. Researchers that conduct the research know that if they want to continue to do research and they want grant money, they have to produce favorable study results. They pass this information on to the drug companies who then hire the ghostwriter. So the researchers, really the frontline people, they are pressured to make the study come out favorable for the drug product. Now, halfway through the report, the editors there was a sidebar that said their survey results of the article were not published in the medical journal. They were published a little later. Of course, you know, they didn't want to publish it. You know, journal editors wanted just to present their findings to the International Meeting of Journal Editors that they had a meeting in Vancouver. I'm sure that went over better presenting it to their peers than it did to the drug establishment. However, your JAMA journal editors did make mention of the findings later in their publication. Here's what Ginny Barber, editor of the Public Library of Science Journal, said. It was very compelling, and I find it quite shocking, to be honest. We have very tough policies, very strict policies, implicit policies on ghostwriting and contributorship, and I feel that we've been lied to by the editors. authors. So my comment to Ginny is, welcome to the jungle. There's money incentive to lie to you. That's the whole crux of the matter.
Big time money in cities. Big time.
Well, then these editors did a second survey. The journal editors went out and did a second survey of the authors of published articles from 1996 to 2008. And their findings of the survey showed that over 16% of New England Journal of Medicine and over 15% of the Annals of Internal Medicine and over 7% of the Journal of the American Medical Association showed ghostwriters were published in all three of their journals. Which means the journals have an on-your-honor policy, making it much easier to lie about contributing material and authors. So, you know, what they found was, you know, your lead authors on research articles will often actually themselves use a ghostwriter. So let's say you're a scientist and you're the lead author on the research. They sometimes hire their own ghostwriters. And they underreport using a ghostwriter, and they don't disclose this to the journal editors, which is considered an academic crime equal to plagiarism.
Yes. I mean, that's not only immoral, it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. How blatant can you get with being uncaring?
Well, I wanted to ask, how often did this happen? To their surprise, 58 to 86% of the time.
Gee whiz.
Right. So, but, you know, the journal articles, the editors sounded like they were in the dark. We're supposed to believe that journal editors, well, are we supposed to believe they didn't know about this unethical behavior? I think they kind of knew. I think they say that they were shocked, stunned by this. They are saying that the amount of underreporting on ghostwriting is a big surprise to them. So the takeaway for the editors at their conference was, go back to work, strengthen your safeguards. And I'm thinking these editors had to have a clue. They couldn't have been asleep at the wheel. But here's a quote from the American Medical Association. They say, studies have found that journal articles involving ghostwriters are often financed by the drug companies. End of quote. So that doesn't make it a scientific study. What that makes it is a magazine ad.
That's absolutely right. I mean, that I can't believe that's not illegal already. I should have known, but I would have thought it had been illegal already. That is so dangerous. That is absolutely life-threatening.
I know. It's a shocking thing to know. So drug companies really have turned the medical journal world into advertising magazines is what they've done, and doctors and patients are really at risk here. So, you know, I've known this has been a problem for some time, but I didn't know the journal editors, a majority of them, want us to believe they had blindfolds on. I've heard of a few that have voiced their outrageous concern and quit because they were trying to reject these articles submitted to them because they were just so biased they couldn't even publish them. And then, of course, you know, the pressure was on from the drug companies to get rid of them as an editor. So a lot of them knew that, you know, the writing's on the wall when you're going to stand up to something like that, and so they just wound up quitting. It's the layers of the onion on this whole health complex that we think is for our well-being is just not what it appears to be, Pastor Butch.
Well, apparently then, obviously, we can't trust the medical journals. We can't trust them with our health or anybody's health, actually. So
right.
Who do you look to then? I mean, how do you trust the medical journals? Who do you trust?
Well, I know. I was reading a report from one scientist. I've reported on this briefly earlier within the last 18 months. He was saying that there's a lot of shoddy clinical research being done and getting published in the journal articles. He said, if I had to make an educated guess, I would say the last 10 or 15 years of journal articles are trash. And here's why, he said. Here's why. He said, from his observation is, let's say they're going to do a study on cancer cells of the prostate. And so a lot of these journal scientists will look up previous prostate cancer studies, and they may pick or choose some angles from those studies to explore it further. But then they order prostate cancer cells to continue their theory, their hypothesis. He says, so they never check the cells that come into the lab. He says, you're supposed to verify the cells that come into the lab that they are actually prostate cells, you know, from a prostate. He says, a lot of times mistakes happen in laboratories where you order these cells from, and they'll send you the wrong organ cell. He says, a lot of times, you know, you order prostate cells, you may get breast cancer cells or colon cancer cells. But you won't get prostate cancer cells. He says, so they never check it. And he says, mistakes like that are very common. And he says, and then let's say they get their journal article published on prostate cancer, but it was really breast cancer cells that they had. And then a few years down the road, another team will pull that study and they'll do a similar study to conduct a theory on. And he says, so you got multiple, it's like dominoes. He says, so you've got this really inferior system of hypothesis theory testing on the wrong cells, and you get the wrong outcome, and you get the wrong treatment plan, and the doctors are treating the patients for the wrong thing.
That is not a mistake. That's on purpose. You can't tell me that you don't make that many mistakes. No, you make a mistake. It happens once or twice. It happens all the time. It's not a mistake.
Well, you know, and he says there's a lot of pressure within scientific research. You know, a lot of these universities are doing a lot of research. I mean, look what in Raleigh, North Carolina, the research triangle. And now they're big into vaccine research. But he says a lot of mistakes happen. He says I've seen samples collected in a Coke bottle instead of a flask. You know, that's.
My goodness.
It's bad. He says it can be really bad. And things are tainted then. And so things aren't always on the up and up like you think they should be in healthcare and in medical research. Stuff goes on. And I saw a lot of stuff go on at the hospitals that I worked at and the clinics that I worked at when I was in healthcare. And I was just like, oh, my word, you know, that can't be right. But it is. It happens because, you know, people are human. They do stuff. So I say be prepared more than ever. You need to be real careful about your medical treatments that you're using. Research them carefully. Investigate your options. And it's not by accident that it can be a challenge to even find some answers to natural wellness options. You know, you have to dig for them. So give us a call at Apothecary Herbs and get our free catalog. You'll see how powerful you can be with immune support herbs. Toxin removal herbs, metabolic strengthening herbs. You'll be amazed what you can do. And we're having a VIP sale for the holiday here, 25% off. Details are online, or they could give us a call at 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, and save 25%. So, Pastor Butch,
yeah.
Your doctors are starting to think the journal articles may not be so beneficial. They are.
I mean, you want to trust that.
I mean, I know.
You know, these are life matters. You want to be able to trust that. You think that these people are doing their best because they care for you. Boy, we're so gullible.
I know. This is life and death issues a lot of times. Yeah. And,
yes,
but,
it is.
You got some really great doctors out there who do their own independent research, and they're just shaking their heads saying, oh, my gosh, I just, you know, spent a decade of my career treating the patient with the wrong treatment, you know.
That is so sad.
Out of sight, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It is. Absolutely is. Give your number and everything again, please, Wendy.
Sure. It's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, you're always fun to have on, and I'll see you tomorrow. I know it's next Wendy, but I'll see you tomorrow. That's
how
fast to goodbye.
Manana.
So you have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week, honey.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. What can I say, folks? That's absurd. Back at the break, a lot more to talk about, and be joining Melody. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back, and this is Pastor Butch Paul, and as usual, I try to be on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, a co-host of Melody Cederstrom, who's now joining us for this segment. And by the way, folks, if you have questions about precious metals, contact Melody, because she's going to answer them on the air. And I like listening to what she tells us, because I learn more about what's going on, and I know how better to protect myself and teach others to do the same thing. So please do email her your questions and let us know. Or if you want to email me, I don't care. I'll give them to her also. But, you know, ask questions about what's on your mind about precious metals, some good ideas, what you should do or shouldn't do. And I think Melody's now with us. Melody, are you there?
I am here.
It is good to have you.
Well, how are you doing today? Much. It's really nice to be able to come on to the program. Well, no, it really is. People don't understand how stressful it can be when you're trying to do this and this and that. So it really is nice. It really takes off a lot of pressure, you know, some days and so forth, you know, when I'm doing other things and, you know, work-related and so forth. So, yeah, I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. We always have fun doing it. I mean, you know, we do have fun doing it, folks. We cover a lot of serious things. We're going to cover a lot of serious news today, but we do have fun doing this. Melody's a good friend and somebody I trust completely with anything she tells me, and that's the truth. Maybe I shouldn't say that to a woman, but I just did. But anyway.
Oh, stop, you sexist.
Anyway, I'm going to ask you a question myself in a second. Before we do it, Melody, I was talking to my daughter-in-law last night on the phone. Mm-hmm. She lives in Colorado, a real fine lady. And I was discussing the fact about the dollar since 1971, the year that I got hitched. The dollar has lost 85% of its value. And I was trying to explain to her that the prices on goods have not gone up. The dollar values come down. Is that a good way to put it?
That's a very good way to put it.
I mean,
and it's really that simple.
It is that simple. But, you know, it's everybody wants to blame it on inflation. It's not inflation, is it? It's depreciation of the dollars. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Exactly. There are different types of inflation, but what we're experiencing is not that.
That's
we're
right.
Experiencing monetary inflation from a fiat currency.
And I it's really sad that Denise is a very intelligent lady. As a matter of fact, she handles all my book work on the ministry and pays all the bills, all this stuff. Very intelligent, and she loves doing that. But she never really been talked at in all of her life. You know, she's a lady now in her 40s, and she's never been taught these points. And as a matter of fact, I wasn't either. The real money has not been taught in schools since I've been alive anyway. I don't remember anything to talk about real money. Maybe some mention money and, you know, different things as far as using money, but not what real money is. So the people in America today, I would say at least 95% of them are illiterate on what real money is. Would that be a fair statement?
It's a very fair statement, and the thing of it is, what they do teach you, though, in school is how to trade stocks.
True. True.
They teach you how to do that. So, well, I mean, and is that really what you want to learn in school? No, it should be about money, not how to trade stocks. Because if you know about money, then you would automatically pretty much know how to trade stocks and so forth. So, it's just like everything else that they teach in the schools. It's not all about learning anymore.
It's just filler. That's all it is. It's like, people used to feed hogs what they called Midlands. Mm-hmm. It wasn't real food. It just made them feel full. It's filler. And that's what they do in school. Just fill their brains full of something. You know, it'd not be anything important. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when in history they actually talk about actual money, the meaning of money, and how that the real money was actually hard assets. I don't know when they really taught that in school. If I'm sure they did, but not in my mm-hmm. lifetime. So mm-hmm. in my lifetime, we watched the last vestige of real money go out to win in 1964, and no one even missed it. And as I said again, 1971. The dollar's dropped 85% in value. What gold's went up from $35 an ounce to $1,800-some dollars an ounce right now. So that's, folks, do you see what I'm trying to say? It's just the dollar has become devalued to nothing. And that's why today when they mint silver eagles, the silver eagles now selling for 30 what, Melody?
About 31 bucks.
Okay, so they're down a little bit in price what they were.
Mm-hmm. 31 the premiums bucks, have folks, dropped.
They have. Well, I don't mean to sound nasty, but it's about time. We had them up there really high for a long time, didn't they?
The premiums were very high. And that always happens going into the end of the year and so forth. And I tell everybody that, but, some people care to listen and some people care not to listen. But it always goes up. And, the thing you can say is, because you can't time the market. So, yes, we see premiums were higher at that point in time. Yes, the premiums come down. But you don't know if the premiums come down, if the price of silver is going to go up. So, I mean, no one has the ability to time markets. If anybody gets it right, you're just lucky. That's all. Because people will follow charts. And, and I know some very good chart followers. And they have predicted prices going to a certain level and so forth and whatnot. But how often are they right?
Very true.
Their time frames are always wrong. I don't think anybody's ever been right on a time frame. They might be wrong on some, something that they might have predicted or thought or analyzed and so forth from a chart. But when everything is manipulated, how can you get any truth from a chart? You can't. If you're putting in false information, that means you're going to get a false answer. So,
well,
stick to the fundamentals.
What you're saying ties in with what Melody just talked about last half hour. She didn't talk about
Wendy.
Money.
Do you mean Wendy?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Wendy. What she talked about just the last segment wasn't about money, but it's about ghostwriters writing articles for medical journals like JAMA and others. They're not actually doctors writing them. They're writing them for doctors, and they're false.
Yeah.
They find that out now. So it's basically the same thing. It's called a cover-up. It makes people believe falsehoods. People actually believe when they put a $100 bill in their pocket, they got $100 in their pocket. They have have a piece of paper with $100 written on it, but it's not really $100. $100 real money would be quite heavy, wouldn't that, Melody?
Yes.
So the people understand this. You're not carrying money, but we mentioned the silver eagles, and I've always liked that coin. It's a beautiful coin, and I know it's not legal tender actually. But it's a beautiful coin, and it's real silver. It's 99.9% real silver. So it's something of value. And I always thought they were really pretty. I give all my grandchildren up to the age they were 18, I gave each one of them a silver dollar every year, a silver eagle every year just to keep and, for keepsake. They try to teach them something about real money. But it's really... We know that it's not really a silver dollar. The silver dollars are no longer being minted, are they?
Not the old ones.
No. Are they minting silver dollars now that are legal tender right now?
Well, I mean, the silver eagle is basically a legal tender coin. It just hasn't been passed through legislation in order to circulate like the old ones and the quarters and the dimes and the 50 cent piece is the 90% silver. So, you know, they're still, those are still spendable, but no, I mean, the silver, the Eagle series, the, both the American silver and the American gold are both considered investment items, investment coins. And that's why they've created these to be issued as investment coins. That's why the U.S. Mint does not sell them, and that they sell them to wholesalers, and then wholesalers go to wholesalers, and then those go to retailers. So you might have the U.S. Mint. Perhaps they'll make a specialty silver eagle or a specialty proof, so forth, and they do sell those. But the investment grade coins, they do not sell. And you cannot buy them from the Mint. You have to go to a retailer to buy them.
Wow. And it used to be that they minted the coins for circulation, period. And actually, they actually bought the precious metals from individuals, did they not, to mint the coins, Melody?
If they did what?
They used to buy the precious metals from individuals and companies to mint the coins with. The Mint. Mint would buy the precious metals and then mint the coins.
How long
ago? That they bought the gold.
How long ago are you talking?
Oh, wow. They still have to buy the silver somewhere.
I do believe it was George Washington. Could have been. There is a story that I wrote about one time. I mean, 25 years ago. They gave silver to make silver coinage. He gave their own silver for silver coinage. I think it was George Washington.
Well, they had to get it somewhere, and they had to buy it to mint it. Mm-hmm. So that, see, people.
I'll have to see if I can't find my story because I keep all those papers.
I think it's interesting. Yeah. I really do. So, folks, now's a good time to buy the Eagles. Good gosh, $31 a piece. That is, they were $39 not that long ago. So now's the time to get them. They're going to go back up, folks. I don't know how or when, how much. I'm not going to predict that, and Melly's not either. But they're an investment coin. You buy them and hang on to them because they'll never go to nothing.
Well, if you listen to the speech last night, that should tell you alone that we're in for a world of deep hurt and that you should be buying metals. I mean, that speech last night was unbelievable. And what's funny is you have every liberal station saying what a great speech Biden gave at the State of the Union. And, you know, oh, it was so wonderful and this and this and that. And but yet he really didn't say much. And the only thing I heard was cha-ching, 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 dollar bills coming out of his ears. That's what I heard. And a lot of what he said last night won't get done. A lot of what he said didn't get done. And it was just – so I don't know if you watched that last night, Butch.
No, I can't stomach it. I don't care who's giving it. I can't stomach it any longer. This charade's been on for so far too long for me to handle it. But yes, I understand.
Well, I watched it because that's, you know, how it impacts my business and so forth. So I did watch it. And he was on for a very long time. And it was, I mean, it was just lie after lie after lie. And they had Sarah Huckabee Sanders did the rebuttal for the Republican Party. And I like her. She's done very well. She'll be really good for the state of Arkansas, but that's not what I really wanted to hear. I wanted to hear, and I wanted his lies addressed. She gave a very stern but fluffy response, I think, and I'm not quite sure fluffy is the correct word, but it didn't
reserved.
It didn't address his lies. And that's afterwards, I actually saw a couple of on Fox News. Some senators give a really good breakdown on his lies and so forth. And that's what I wish he had done. But it was too Trumpy. And it was, and I know a lot of you listeners love Trump. The only person Biden could beat if he ran again would be Trump. So I don't know, Butch. It was just, it was interesting. But just a full pack of lies.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I didn't watch it, like I said, but I did follow up with the day online and some different things that was being said. And I just marvel. I mean, the American people in the mass surely can't believe that because they lived through it. They surely can't believe it. But I just wonder if I don't think the majority of them even care any longer. We're just trying to survive day to day. They don't really care any longer. That's the sad part.
Who's trying to survive?
The people, American people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they got the point now that they don't care really what they say, what they even do, because they're just trying to survive. They realize it's kind of out of their reach and out of their control. You know, I mean, when you get a government thinks that all you have to do to make money is print it, and that's what they did, and that's what they're doing. I mean, the interest on the payment on the debt this nation is almost $1 trillion right now every year. Just the interest alone is $865 billion or something like that. Just interest alone. So the interest is almost $1 trillion. Now, just think about that. And it's hard to even believe that when you think about it in the way of numbers. But when you print and print and print, that's what you get. That's what you get. And people, again, like I said, are just trying to survive. They don't understand that inflation is not real inflation. This is the value of the dollar. They don't understand that. And I think people have a hard time understanding that one day I think we're going to digital money. And banks are already talking about that. They're like an article on cover next 20 minutes on banks that are going to have bail-ins. And it's already starting, folks. Already starting. Bail-ins means the banks take your money to pay their bills. We'll discuss that next segment. This is already happening. And this is very serious. You've been telling people for years, like I have, get your money out of the bank and out of paper because it's going to go away. And that's a very fair statement, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So and when this article about bail-ins really... It didn't really shock me. I'm just amazed they had actually admit it. And you can watch it, folks. There's a little video with that also. If you go to PastorButch.com, look on the economic news. It should be up there by this evening. You can watch that little video yourself. People standing in line at Bank of America want to know where the money is. The banks tell them to talk to customer service, but they keep giving a runaround. Six or eight people in line want their money and can't get it. Now, this is a fact. So I sent YouTube, buddies. You can watch it yourself. It should be in your email now. But this
okay.
is what's happening. This is what's happening. I know I'm getting ready to go to break in a second, so I'll let you take us out to break.
All righty. Well, I just wanted to make this quick note that Zoom video communications, remember everybody used Zoom during COVID in the beginning years, that they're going to cut 15% of its workforce, or about 1,300 jobs, and trim base pay for its executive leadership. And of course, with the people going back to work and some not, of course, they're having a little bit more troubles. And shares of the company rose about 9% on the news, but it declined 63% last year. So we'll be back we'll be back in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, there was some interesting things going on last night during the speech, but a lot of the talk is on that Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's like, you know, no wonder us Republicans can't get no respect. Of course, I'm not a Republican, but you know, she certainly did. But she was one of the few who called out liar. She screamed liar throughout the speech, and I have no problem with that whatsoever because that's what he was doing. He was lying.
I totally agree. That's just so sad. Well, we can spend a lot of time on that. I could bring a lot more points up that what I watched online today, but I won't get into that because we'll spend the next segment don't talk about that. But I did want to very quickly mention the earthquake, what's going on in Turkey and Syria. It really is sad. I know most folks who watched it on news probably or what different places. When you got little babies being pulled out, the mama was killed giving birth to the child, the baby lived, and see the little girl pulled out and her face is bloody and dirty, and her daddy's standing ready to get, you know, it's heartbreaking, folks. It really is. No way we can understand unless you live through it. So deaths in Turkey, Syria, earthquake surpassed 11,000. Weather now a threat to homeless. The search for survivors grew more desperate, the homeless problem more acute, and the death toll rose sharply Wednesday as rescues labored to find signs of life amid the rubble of Monday earthquakes and aftershocks that laid waste to a wide swath of Turkey and Syria. Turkey's Disaster Management Agency said the country's death toll passed 8,500. The Syrian Health Ministry replaced the toll in government-held areas at more than 1,200. At least 1,400 people have died in the rebel-held northwest, according to the White Helmets Volunteer Agency. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Wednesday inspected relief efforts Karamanmaraş province, where the two powerful quakes and aftershocks were centered. Damage was spread over at least nine other provinces, affecting more than 13 million of the nation's 86 million people. Erdogan toured his tent city and pledged that no one will be left in the streets. He acknowledged the response has started slowly, but dismissed criticism that government needed to do more. "We mobilized all our resources," Erdogan said. "The state is working with municipalities, especially disaster agencies, with all its means." I mean, gosh, the people are desperate. But it's something that's huge. You just can't get to them all at one time, can you, Melody?
No. And, you know, it is a sad situation. And I was really surprised to know, I read or heard, that Israel went in there to help Syria. Now, this is after they go in there and bomb the heck out of them, that they're going in there to help them also. So, yes, it is. I didn't realize it had gone past 11,000.
That's what the article said. And it could go higher. I'm sure it's going to go higher. They haven't found everybody yet, obviously. I mean, it's going to go higher, probably much higher. Don't like to say that, but it's probably going to happen. It's so sad. I mentioned before the break, though, about Bellions. Now, this is for real, folks. This is something that you need to consider and think about if you have money in the bank. European Central Bank preparing for Bellions and banking collapse, according to a whistleblower. Greg Reese recently published a video report about how banks are preparing to resort to Bellions, where they could restrict depositors from accessing their own funds. He played a clip from the recent FDIC meeting, where the fragile condition of the banking system was discussed, and the fear of bank it runs, and we have also previously covered that. A contractor whistleblower for the European Central Bank contacted Greg Reese after he aired the video excerpt from the recent FDIC meeting where they discussed bail-ins, allegedly that he had been assigned an urgent project related to preparing for bail-ins for the European Central Bank. Bail-ins, as opposed to bailouts, are when the banks take money out of the accounts on deposit within the bank when the bank does not have enough funds to meet its obligations. According to this report by Greg Reese and the information from the informant, the playbook for the bank bail-ins has already been written for Europe, and they're preparing for bank runs. I think that's scary, and I think it's real. I mean, it's going to happen, Melody. All fiat currencies and nations depend on collapse. And if the FDIC was involved in some of this, they must be looking at something also. Any comments on that?
No.
So, folks, I'm not trying to cry wolf and scare you to death. I don't leave you money in the bank. I don't. I have nothing to cover my needs when I need it, but I have to go buy something, but I don't leave money in the bank. If I have enough excess money, I like to buy some more coins with it, put something back. Or do something else with it. I have to do maybe update something in the house, but don't leave it in the bank. If they have a bill in, it's gone. And you watch the video I just mentioned. Go to our website, PastorButch.com. Look under Economic News. She'll be up there sometime this evening or tomorrow. Just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. Watch what happens in the Bank of America. It really happened. Now, you can watch this. Now, talking about precious metals, Central Bank gold reserves chart second highest increase since 1950 in 2022.
Yeah.
The banks are buying gold. Melly, what should that tell us?
Yeah, I think we talked about this, about the central banks buying so much gold in the past 50 years, but it really is an important story. And again, it does say just how much, you know, these banks, I mean, they know what's written on the wall. They know what's going to happen, Butch.
Yeah, they do. And Chinese banks that they know of has purchased 1,448 tons of gold in the last 3 years, the last few years. I mean, like 10 years or so. But how much you're buying, we don't know about. So, folks, this I tell you something. If the nation's banks are buying metal to protect their wealth, what should you be doing? Since you covered it, I won't go any deeper on that, but I thought it was interesting.
It is very interesting. I thought we covered it here, too. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. But, yeah, it's really a big – were you listening, Butch?
I didn't remember that one.
Yeah, but – no. Well, it was last week sometime. And you know what? Time goes – but, yeah, it's very important. And I'm glad you brought that because I think it's something that needs to be – because there's a lot of people who can't listen every day either. So it does bear to repeat it.
Well, when banks are preparing for bail-ins, central banks are buying gold, something is imminent. When they're discussing digital currencies worldwide, something is imminent, folks. Please pay attention.
You know what's interesting is I've heard McCarthy, and I also heard during the speech last night that you don't have to worry about the U.S. defaulting on the dollar. McCarthy said, there's no way, you know, we will not default on the you know, we will raise the debt ceiling. So they're giving they're sending messages out to the rest of the world. And that's what that's about. Because you know what? You were right when you said earlier, the people in this country, they don't have time for, you know, wow, it's a big deal, we're going to default. You know, they don't have time to worry. Those words that McCarthy said and what I heard last night and one or two other high-positioned senators and so forth say the same thing. They're getting the message out because they probably received warnings or they saw something. There's something going on in the background that I think it made them come out and say, hey, we're not going to default. So
if they raise the debt ceiling, they're just kicking a can down the road for a little longer.
That's right. That's right. But it was important that they got that message out that we're not going to default. There's no, and it wasn't just we're not, there's no way we're going to allow that to happen. So to me, that was a big warning.
Of course. Of course, another sign. I agree. And you probably heard this already, too. Ukraine, Zelensky calls for Wings for Freedom fighter jets on trip to Europe.
Oh, yeah.
This is, I mean.
He was in the UK this morning.
Yeah, yeah. President Volodymyr Zelensky urged Britain and others on Wednesday to give Ukraine Wings for Freedom by sending combat aircraft to help turn the tide against Russia's offensive, hoping to overcome Western reluctance to take that step. Well, I thought the tide was turning in their favor already. Now he said we need to turn a tide against Russia. But anyway. Western countries have scaled up their pledges of military aid for Ukraine this year with promises of hundreds of tanks and armored vehicles as well as longer-range weapons, but have so far refused to deliver warplanes. They will, I'm sure, eventually. Zelensky praised Britain and the West for the support and the sanctions they have provided. They provide so far in an address to lawmakers from across the political spectrum of the Gothic expanse, the Parliament, Westminster Hall in London, but offering an Air Force helmet with the message, we have freedom, give us wings to protect it, to the Speaker of the House of Commons, the lower house of Parliament, Zelensky called on the West to deliver up for the fighter jets. I appeal to you and the world with simple and yet the most important words, combat aircraft for Ukraine, wings for freedom. Pushing, pushing, and pushing. And top Putin ally says he will not hide intention to invade Poland anymore. Razem Gadyrov, a key ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, had begun rallying off threats against attacking Poland after Ukraine. Gadyrov, the head of Chechnya, suggested Monday that Russia should denazify and demilitarize Poland next. What if, after the successful completion of the NMD, Russia begins to denazify and demilitarize the next country? After Ukraine, Poland is on the map. I will not hide that personally to have such an intention. Kadyrov said on the telegram, I personally have such an intention, and I have repeatedly stated that the fight against Satanism should continue throughout Europe and first of all on the territory of Poland. Kadyrov warned Tuesday that the time has come for the West to fall to its knees before Russia, predicting that the so-called special military operation in Ukraine will be over by the end of 2023. The space and military operation will be over before the end of this year. European countries will admit they have been wrong. The West will fall to its knees. And as usual, European countries will have to cooperate with the Russian Federation in all spheres, Kadyrov said, according to TASS. There should not and will never be an alternative to that. Pretty powerful talk, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty powerful talk. If they invade Poland, Poland is part of NATO, then what will happen next?
I just can't imagine. I don't think Russia's going to do Poland until they got Ukraine. I mean, because then he would have the full NATO force on his butt. So, you know, I mean, I'm not questioning what you're reading or anything like that, but I find it just, you know, unless because we're helping Ukraine and it's just a matter of time until the planes come,
yes,
instead of getting to the West, he decides just to do Poland, because Poland is pretty outspoken too, and I saw the you know, some, I don't know if he was a general or something like that on one of the programs recently. And, you know, in Poland's, you know, for over there, Poland's giving Russia the most, you know, a lot of whatever you want to call it, grief.
To say the least, yeah.
To say the least. I'm not a war person. I'm not a military person. So I'm just viewing this as, you know, the ones that are being the most outspoken. Yeah, sure, Germany's going to do this, and maybe, but Poland has been very outspoken. So.
Well, it's just not a pretty picture. It really isn't, folks. I mean, we're running out of time here, so I'll save articles and some other articles maybe for Friday, but. It's not a pretty picture, Melody. Financially, the world is as unstable as it can be, and America is absolutely probably near the top, the leader of the pack in this situation. As far as nations working together, that's collapsing also. As far as NATO and the Russian alliances, it's crumbling worldwide. We're seeing unrest all over the world, China and Taiwan, North and South Korea. We're watching the world come to some kind of a climax that may not be very appealing to think about. And nations have went to war over finances many times, have they not, Melody? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So this is not something we should shrug off and think it's going to go away, because I don't think it is. It can't go away. All the nations are too far in debt for it to go away. It can't go away. When you add that.
No, I mean, I agree, and this will come to a head. I mean, he's just not going to back up, and Zelensky's all over the globe. He left Ukraine and went to UK this morning. He was supposed to have a meeting with Charles, so who knows what they'll back him with.
Well, I know Zelensky's, let's just say he's a wealthy man. Let's make a statement. We'll cover it maybe more Friday. He's a very wealthy individual. I wonder how you got that way. Go ahead, Mel.
I wonder. Well, we're out of time. And we will be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.